I look funny today, it's because Steve gave me these, and my ears are hurting, Steve. But before we read our scripture verses this morning, I'd like to read from Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 17. I'll ask you not to open your Bibles, just to pay close attention to Jesus' words. Jesus has just finished teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer. In fact, let's open this morning with that prayer that Jesus has taught us to say. Please pray with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And then, after teaching his disciples how to pray, Jesus continues, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are in bed, and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. To those who seek, find. And to those who knock, the door will be open. So remembering these words of Jesus, let us now read Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. And Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Amen. The story begins with Jesus going up to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And these are cities that are outside the boundaries of Israel. They're up north along the coast. And this is Gentile territory that Jesus is entering. And the people who lived there were not Jews. They were Gentiles, pagans. It's interesting that Matthew uses the word Canaanite to describe her, because that's an Old Testament word for the people that were living in the land of Canaan back when the Israelites moved in. And the Canaanites were Gentiles, pagans, outside of the covenant that the Lord had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yet they were in close enough contact, close enough proximity to have some knowledge about the religion of Israel. And this woman apparently did, because she comes to Jesus crying out, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. Notice the title she uses, Son of David. That's a messianic term. The Messiah whom God had promised would be the Son of David, a physical descendant of the great King David, and the greatest one of all, even greater than David himself. The Lord God had promised David that one of his sons would reign on his throne forever. And this son of David, this Messiah, this Christ, would usher in a glorious reign of blessing for Israel and a glorious reign of blessing for all other nations too. And this was the point that was often forgotten by Israel. When Messiah comes, his blessing would extend to the Gentiles as well as Israel. The nations would come running to Israel in those days to receive the Lord's blessing, much as this Canaanite woman was doing now in coming to Jesus. So this woman must have known the prophecies about the coming Messiah, the son of David. She knew something of those promises, and it gave her faith. She was waiting and looking for the coming of the Christ. And she recognized in Jesus the one who was fulfilling those promises. Faith looks to Jesus as a fulfiller of God's promises. The Canaanite woman must have heard what Jesus was doing, his healings, his miracles, and his acts of mercy. And that encouraged her now to come forward with her request. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. Lord, have mercy. Several times in the Gospels, we hear people crying out to Jesus with those words. Blind men asking for their sight. A father seeking help for his demonized son. And this woman, a mother seeking similar help for her daughter, who is suffering terribly. Now notice Jesus' response, or should I say, his lack of response. But he did not answer her a word. That's surprising. That's not what we would expect from Jesus. He did not answer her a word. So what's going on here? Is Jesus being rude, cold-hearted? How do we explain his silence? Perhaps the timing isn't right. Not quite yet. Perhaps Jesus is waiting a bit before he answers. Perhaps he wants the woman to exercise her faith, to stretch it out a bit. And maybe he has something that he wants to teach his disciples also. The disciples might have a little bit of cold-heartedness in them. They don't understand what Jesus is wanting to do, so they say, "Send her away. She is crying out after us." Have you ever wished that someone would leave you alone? Or for that matter of fact, find another church? Oh Lord, send him or her away. Our lives would be much better off without them. Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed and I can't get up and give you anything. In the whisper test, Mary Ann Bird writes this: I grew up knowing that I was different, and I hated it. I was born with a cleft palate. And when I started school, my classmates made it clear how I looked to others. A little girl with a misshapen lip, a crooked nose, lopsided teeth, and garbled speech. When schoolmates asked, "What happened to your lip?" I tell them that I fell and cut it on a piece of glass. Somehow, it just seemed more acceptable to have suffered an accident than to have been born different. I was convinced that no one outside my family could ever love me. There was, however, a teacher in the second grade whom we all adored, Mrs. Leonard. Mrs. Leonard was short, round, happy. A sparkling lady. Annually, we had a hearing test, and Mrs. Leonard gave the test to everyone in the class. And finally, it was my turn. I knew from past years that as we stood against the door and covered one ear, the teacher sitting at her desk would whisper something, and we would have to repeat it back. Things like, "The sky is blue," or "Do you have new shoes?" I waited there for those words that God must have put in her mouth. Those seven words that changed my life. Mrs. Leonard said in her whisper, "I wish you were my little girl." And God says to every person deformed by sin, I wish you were my son, or I wish you were my daughter. But in this case with the Canaanite woman, at least at first, it seems that Jesus is going along with the disciples, which would say, get lost. A lousy Gentile like you doesn't deserve any help. For Jesus tells her that I was sent only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that is true. In his earthly ministry, Jesus the Messiah was sent principally and primarily to the house of Israel, that is, to the Jews. The lost sheep of Israel needed to be gathered in, for the Lord had made a covenant with Israel, and Jesus was sent to fulfill it. And his ministry, for the most part, was among the Jews. Long ago, the Lord had promised to bless the descendants of Abraham, and now Jesus was keeping that promise to the Jews first. But the promise of blessing to Israel when Messiah comes would not exclude those Gentiles who came into contact with Israel. They could rub up against the blessing, so to speak, and that's what this Gentile woman was doing. Jesus came for the lost sheep of Israel, yes, and it was not until after his resurrection that the mission would be expanded in a major way to the Gentiles. But even now, even while he is busy ministering to the Jews, Jesus will not withhold his blessing from this Gentile woman. Although for a moment, it looks like he will. For he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But Jesus, I think, is just making it clear that he's not going to change the focus of his ministry and shift his turf up to Tyre and Sidon and to the Gentile regions. Now, I'd like you to do something. I'd like you to take a moment and answer to yourselves as honestly as you can. What would you have done if you were in her place and the Lord of heaven, the creator of the world, told you, sorry, I wasn't sent for you or your problem? Would you walk away in despair without any hope? I think I probably would. If God rejected me and told me I was out of his will, and he did not come to bring salvation to me because I was not one of the chosen ones, I think that would probably kill my spirit. Yet in spite of this, because her daughter has no other hope than Jesus, the Canaanite woman persists. She perseveres. She kneels down before Jesus, and she says, Lord, help me. But again, yet another obstacle is placed in her way. Jesus replies, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. That is to say, it's not right to take the blessings promised to the children of Israel and give them to the Gentiles. Oftentimes, the Jews referred to the Gentiles as dogs, as a term of disrespect, a derogatory insult. However, there's something interesting in the way Jesus says it. I'm told that in the Greek language, there are two words for dogs. The most common one is the word the Jews used as an insult to the Gentiles. But I'm told that's not the one that Jesus uses. Instead, he uses a word that can be translated as little pet dogs or doggies, an affectionate term used for dogs who got to live in the house and were taken care of. That's the word that Jesus uses, a kind and inviting word. And the woman picks up on it. Yes, Lord, she says, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. The woman came not claiming anything as her right, but simply throwing herself on the Lord's mercy. She was willing to be a dog that eats the scraps off the table. She was ready to be a little dog if it meant being around the Lord's table, for that's where the blessings are. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Blessed are those who come as beggars, even dogs, before the Lord of all mercy. I wonder, are we that humble when it comes to the blessings of the Lord? Who do we admire more here? This outsider, and in those days not only a Gentile but a woman, or Jesus' disciples, who had been with Jesus all this time and still said, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." It's almost as if the fame of Jesus had gone to their heads. We don't have time for these types of people. They are interfering with the ministry that God has given us. We have more important work to do. Wow. Talk about missing the opportunities that God has put in your path. Sometimes we tend to think that we know the mind of God and that my God would not do this or my God would not condone that, and worse, my God could never love someone like that or in that lifestyle. Well, God is God, and you and I are not. God will do as he wills, for he alone is God. God will even grant a Canaanite woman her wish if he wants to, despite the disciples' objections and cries to send her away. So why did they want him to send her away? Because she is crying out after us for help, implying she doesn't deserve the grace of God. If the disciples who lived with Jesus and personally witnessed his miracles and saw all his blessings and heard his words acted this way towards another human being, what hope is there for us? Look at the hatred and the slander that some Christians show towards non-Christians because of their lifestyles or beliefs. Send these non-believers to hell, O Lord, for they do not believe as we do. We are so righteous. After all, we are the chosen ones. We are the Lord's disciples. We will decide what's right and what's wrong. We will tell the world how God wants them to act and think and live. I think we should pause and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your wonderful grace, and that we do not get what we deserve, but that you have freely given us your grace. The Canaanite woman did not give up when the obstacles were placed in her way. She perseveres. Martin Luther says she battles Christ. She catches the Lord Christ in his own words. Yet still more, with the rights of dogs, she gains the right of a child. Now where will he go, the dear Jesus? He has caught himself and must help her. But know this well. He loves to be caught in this way. If only we had the skills of this woman to catch God in his own judgment and say, yes, Lord, it is true. I am a sinner and not worthy of your grace. But you have promised forgiveness, and you did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Behold, then Christ must then through his own judgment have mercy on us. Martin Luther. I'm reminded of a story of a man charged with stealing a turkey who appeared in court. He told the judge that his action was an answer to prayer. When the judge asked him to explain, the man said, well, judge, it was the night before Thanksgiving, and I didn't have a turkey. I prayed to the Lord to send me one. At midnight, I still had no turkey. So then I prayed for the Lord to send me after a turkey, and he did. Poor theology, to be sure. But the story does suggest that we are not to just sit and wait for opportunities to come. Sometimes we have to go out and make them. While I was preparing for this talk on this passage, I just couldn't get my mind around it. For the first time that I can remember, I was at a loss in what to say about a sermon that I was asked to give. I drew a blank. I felt stressed and even depressed, and there was no way that I would be ready by Sunday. It wasn't until early, very early Tuesday morning, that I awakened from a restless night of sleep that the words flowed. And I believe they flowed from what happened the night before, on Monday night. I was down and a little bit depressed, so my wonderful wife, Lorraine, in her wisdom and compassion, said, "Before we go to prayer meeting tonight, I'm going to treat you to supper in a restaurant. Where would you like to go?" "KFC," I replied, with a smile and a glimpse of hope. I think she said something like, "Of course, where else?" So at 6 p.m., we went to KFC, ordered our finger-licking good chicken, and sat down to eat. Oh, yeah, I guess I should mention that when we ordered our food, Lorraine informed me that she didn't have her purse with her, so I would have to pay for the food that she was treating me to. And while we were finishing, scratch that, I had already gobbled down my food. Lorraine was still finishing. A complete stranger came to our table and stood in front of Lorraine and asked, "Can I ask a big favor of you?" "Yes," she answered, before I could even say, "Wait a minute, we don't even know this person." "Could you buy me some food?" he asked politely. "Of course," she replied. "But I don't have any money with me. You'll have to ask my husband." "Follow me," I said. And we went to the counter, and I ordered him a 3-piece meal. He didn't know how to work the pop machine, so Lorraine filled his cup for him. Lorraine and I went back to our table so she could finish her meal, and he followed us there. And he sat with us while his meal was being prepared. We found out that his name was Harry, and that he was from Fort Albany. And he did have a place to stay that night, but it was obvious that he hadn't eaten for a while, because while he was waiting for his meal, Lorraine offered him her last piece of chicken, and he gulped it down. It was obvious that he wanted companionship and a listening ear. I looked at my watch, and it was 6:40. "I guess we better go, or we'll be late," I said. So Lorraine and I got ready to leave, and I told him, "God bless you." He shook our hands with gratitude. "Don't forget to go and get your meal when it's ready," I said, as we left. Now, I mention this story because as I was writing the sermon earlier, early Tuesday morning, it became obvious to me that the Lord was teaching me a lesson through this passage. I was like the disciples and not Jesus. Like the disciples whose mission was more important than the hurt of this Canaanite woman, the prayer meeting was more important to me than the needs of Harry from Fort Albany for compassion, for companionship. I didn't say like the disciples, send him away. Instead, I left for something I thought was more important, prayer. The disciples missed an opportunity that Jesus had been teaching them all this time. And I missed an opportunity that God had placed right in front of my nose. Love each other as I have loved you. Isn't it true that sometimes we get so wrapped up in church or doing the Lord's work that we miss the opportunity that the Lord has put right in front of our noses because of our tunnel vision? I wonder if the disciples got the message after Jesus had taken the time to grant to the woman her request, and to put the person ahead of the mission. God wants us to come to Jesus time and time again, in spite of any obstacles that we might face. It's so easy to give up. People do it all the time. When there is suffering in our life, we give up and think that God is uncaring. When something goes wrong in our life, we give up and stop coming to Jesus. When something at church doesn't go the way that we like, we give up and stop coming to church. But God doesn't want us to give up. He wants us to persevere in faith like the Canaanite woman did, and to seek and find His mercy and blessing. The Canaanite woman did not give up, and Jesus commends her on her faith. "O woman, great is your faith." And Jesus grants her request, and her daughter is healed. So how is Jesus able to do that? What gives him this authority? Because he is the author of life. Christ is the victor over sin and death and the devil. He has authority over the demons in hell. Jesus, our Savior, won that victory for us in a most mysterious way. Moved by his divine mercy, the Son of God came down into our mess and suffered our misery with us. He entered into it fully. He suffered the anguish of all the ravages of sin when he was nailed to that cross. And Jesus himself suffered the silence of God when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Canaanite woman's great faith had nothing to do with how good she was, or how much she was devoted to God, or whether she had done good deeds for others. It had to do with her need for a power greater than herself and her willingness to confess it. I guess if this passage tells us anything, it's that there's a place in God's kingdom for the least, the last, and the lost. In other words, there's a place for you and me. It also tells us that there's a place for others as well, for those we might least expect to be included in God's great family. If you'd asked the Jews if they could think of anyone who would never be invited to the heavenly banquet, they would have told you the Canaanites. Yet here is a Canaanite woman calling on Jesus to heal her daughter. And in spite of his initial reluctance, he not only healed her daughter, but he commended her on her great faith. On the ladder of ritual purity, she was near the top, while the Pharisees and the scribes were on the bottom rung. And remember, they were the church of that day. So let us be as faithful as we can. Be religious if we must. But let us be careful and not let our righteousness stand in the way of God's infinite mercy, his grace, and his love. May we dare to have the faith of a dog, eager to please and willing to take the place at our Master's feet. Too many Christians discourage inquirers after Christ instead of helping them forward. We're too ready to doubt the reality of a new Christian's grace because it seems small. And we tend sometimes to treat him as Saul was treated when he first came to Jerusalem after his conversion. Acts 9:26 tells us they did not believe that he was a disciple. So let us beware of giving way to this spirit. Let us seek to have more of the mind of Christ. Like him, let us be gentle and kind and encouraging in all our treatment of those who are seeking to be saved. Above all, let us tell non-believers continually that they must not judge Christ by Christians. Let us assure them that there is far more in the gracious Master than there is in the best of his servants. Peter and James and John may say to the afflicted soul, "Send her away." But such a word never came from the lips of Christ. He may sometimes keep us waiting, as he did this woman, but he will never send us away empty. The story of Jesus and the Canaanite woman prove that God has compassion on those in need. And it's hard to conceive of a more striking illustration of this truth than what we have here in this passage. The prayer of this afflicted mother at first seemed entirely unnoticed. Jesus answered her not a word. Yet she prayed on. And the answer which fell from our Lord's lips sounded discouraging. "I wasn't sent to anyone but the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Yet she prayed on. "Lord, help me." The second answer of our Lord was even less encouraging than the first. "It's not appropriate to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And hope deferred This did not make her heart sick. Even then, she was not silenced. Even then, she finds a plea for some crumbs of mercy to be granted to her. And her persistence obtained at great length a gracious reward. Woman, great is your faith. Be it done to you even as you desire. And that promise has never yet been broken. Seek, and ye shall find. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just praise your glorious name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful salvation that you have given us through Jesus our Lord. Father, may we not be so righteous as to think that we deserve your salvation, Lord. May we be as dogs at your feet, Lord, willing to serve and to take the crumbs that you offer us. Father, we just thank you that you will never turn us away. Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, help us to be like you. Help us to be like Jesus, Father. We just pray that we will show your love to all those that we meet as we leave this place and continue on this journey that you have set before us. And Lord, may we recognize all the opportunities that you put in our place to love one another as you have loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.